This is Lead Stories. I'm your Trice Lead, and things are moving along, although not swimmingly in Washington, D.C., as Joe Biden prepares and starts getting underway his choosing of a cabinet and several people who will be playing key roles in his administration. And we're seeing now that the Republican leadership, is apparently coming to its senses and trying to persuade Donald Trump that it is time for him to exit stage left, don't make any more trouble, and go in peace and let the Biden dynasty begin. But it doesn't seem to be working. Trump isn't listening to anybody. He's in a space all by himself where only he knows what is happening in his head. He is still contesting the election. He does not intend so far to concede, so that formally the transition of power can begin. And the new administration will take over so that by January the 20th, it becomes set in stone. But so far, Trump is not cooperating at all. So we've come through in the past week, the COVID pandemic stalking and haunting the country. Political pillars are crumbling. The economy is in deep distress. The nation is scarred and divided, both nationally and internationally. The reputation of the United States as an exemplar, which it liked to hold itself up to be, an exemplar of freedom and democracy, has been badly, some people would say, permanently damaged. We're in an awful mess, and it is not going to be solved quickly or even efficiently. How did we get to this point as a nation? And how do we get out of this mess that we're in? It doesn't seem to bother Trump at all. First of all, I think we can universally agree that this president has not had, from day one, any deep concern about the country itself. It's had that space, that number one space, was reserved for him and his family. And the idea was to make as much money as possible in the shortest time. And in the White House, everybody goes on a four-year timetable. We don't seem to have, unless you know it involves impeachment, and that would be probably for criminal conduct, we don't seem to have any other way of encouraging a president to go, unless he wants to get involved in more complex litigation. This president signed off a long time ago. He's not even with this. He's enjoying the perks still of the country. You know, he flies around on US-1. His family gets to fly around wherever they need to go. They're earning very outrageous salaries. They're living very well. But the people are suffering in ways like we have never seen before, and degrees of suffering like we have not seen perhaps since the Great Depression in this country. So I'm asking the question today, how do we get out of this awful mess? Do we dare hope that we can? And what would it take to get out of the horrible situation that we're in? A man who is not president anymore, technically, is still holding the entire nation hostage. He's still getting away with his outrageous conduct. And everybody seems to be unwilling or unable to really let him have it, if it means escorting him off out of Washington by armed militias. Something has to be done that is very drastic, and to let him know, and his followers know, his most ardent followers, that contrary to what he and they may think, democratic rule still prevails. You can't do these outrageous things and make it impossible for this country to proceed. You're creating this Donald Trump has created some of the most outrageous circumstances to exist in this country that most people could remember. They don't remember a time when a president has behaved this way in such an outrageous and illegal manner and not give a hang about what, you know, the consequences are, because everybody is afraid to confront him and demand that he leave, demand that his term officially come to an end, and that he himself bring it to an end as is required. Concede the election and let life go on. Fight your fight in another venue at another time, but this is not it. You're ruining whatever is left, whatever shred of credibility is left in this government. So that's the question. How do we get out of the mess that we are in? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. I don't want you to just give a knee-jerk reaction today. I want some meat on those bones. I want you to extend yourself and give us something to ponder, because you've studied the situation and you've come up with some concrete ideas based on what you have observed. And of course, we know where we are, and where we are is a very, very bad place, a very unstable place. And we have to move on just the same. But we cannot move on as a nation, not in the state of chaos and confusion. It is not right that President Trump sees fit to basically create these untenable circumstances for which he's principally responsible. The Republican Party seems incapable or unwilling to persuade the president that he is still, for the time being, until the changing of the guard, he is the guardian of democracy in the United States. And this is completely different from it, the behavior that we're seeing. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Okay, well, I predicted it last week and nobody took me seriously, so I'm going to say,
oh, did you take a poll?
This is a coup d'etat. That is what's happening. And he is actively and right in your face trying to flip the vote. And today, right now, I am so sad to tell you, I cannot find the channel it's on, but I wanted to watch those hearings going on in Michigan right now. Very, very important to see if these delegates are going to go ahead and certify the vote, or if they're going to not certify it. It's very, very important. But I think, you know, all morning I've been speaking to my friends, and I think that people in this country do not get how tenacious this man is and how he has been plodding along the whole time with an intention to flip the vote. And by the way, when he flips the vote, it won't just be he that gets to stay in. It's going to be everybody else that lost the election this time. So it, not just him, but all the other, you know, hangers-on are get to stay in. And that's really awful because it gives them the incentive to try to flip the vote, to go along with him, to try to give him the ability to do so. So I think that we're such a dangerous place. And I think that this is unlike anything else. This has never happened in the United States. And it is more dangerous than if it happened in any other country in the world, because we have the weapons to make all kinds of things happen. And if he gets in this time, one, that's the end of the United States, because it will then have been a failed experiment. This country is totally pockmarked with imperfections. But I believe that there was always an intention to have some kind of a cohesive democracy. And I think that Trump has flipped all that on its head. I still think people are living in the land of denial. They don't think this can happen. They don't say it doesn't make any sense to them. So most people are just standing there like deer in the headlights. So what I would encourage people to do today is, if at the very least, you can just call your local elected officials and let them know that you are watching this and you do not want to have a coup. The only thing that could happen now to stop him in his tracks is he must be impeached and removed, period. This has to happen before the 14th of December, because we don't know how far. We do know how far he can go, and we know that he has allies on his side. We know that Lindsey Graham is with him. We know that Mitch McConnell is with him. Mitch McConnell's silence is loud as, you know, as loud as it can get, because by him not coming out and reprimanding this kind of behavior, he is compliant with it. Then you have the other kettle of fish.
The party has not reprimanded Trump. The party as a party has been dead silent so far.
Dead silent. Dead silent.
The behavior of this president.
It is hard for me to believe that these bunch of schlubs could allow the entire country and the history of the country to go down the toilet by letting this guy keep his president, keep the presidency. This horrible man who is not intelligent, he's mentally unfit, he's unfit in every way there could be. And I don't want to hear one caller tell me that it's not really as bad as all that. It is as bad as all that. And people who think it's not, you're in denial. You're in denial of what's really happening. One thing Trump does, he follows up on everything bad he's going to do. And he puts it right out there for you. If he's going to break a law, he's just going to break it. He's going to tell you, I'm going to break the law, and this is the way it's going to be. And that's the problem. Nobody knows how to handle this kind of behavior. But I think that we all should be very much on our toes. I think that when you call your senators and local elected officials, you need to let them know that, you know, this is not going to go down so easily either. I mean, if he does get what he wants, then there's going to be, I'm sure, open fighting in the streets. I'm sure that's going to happen. And
well,
I'm sure there's going to be.
I see that coming. I see physical confrontations and violence in the streets over this because of the unwillingness or the inability of either party, really.
It's hard to believe.
Express their outrage about the situation. I think people want to come out in the street, but they are very reticent to do so because things are so uncertain. Your democratic right to protest may just put you smack in the middle of extreme danger and prejudice here. So people have to be very careful. All right,
there's just
you've got
one
to start it. And thanks so much. Thank you. Eve from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay. What are your thoughts?
Thanks for the music. I would like to say that, yes, things could get really out of hand if we allow ourselves to be pulled into this illusion that they want us to be in. It's a scripted reality that we're in. And, you know, Biden doesn't become the president till in January. He gets coronated to his new savior position. So in between now and then, they have to fill in some time. So this is the perfect way to do it, to have Trump contesting all the results of the election. And it takes the time up till the end. This happened before with Gore and Bush, and they blamed Nader for making the Republicans win. So then he decided not to run in the Green Party anymore. They do all these things to keep us manipulated, and they could make us fight with each other in the streets because we're allowing ourselves to be taken for a ride, a real long ride.
All right, but let me ask you, what do you see as the way to get out of the mess we're in?
Well, we have to be patient because in order for Biden to become the president, it doesn't happen till January some day. What day is that? No?
20th
of January?
Somewhere there, yes.
Around when Martin Luther King's birthday. Okay, so up till then, they have to fill in the time. So this is what Donald Trump is doing. Donald Trump is not really a president of the United States. He's the patsy. He's the guy that gets blamed for everything. Henry complained about the hour that he lost the day from some Giuliani thing going on. What about the 2 years we lost with the Mueller investigation of the Russian collusion that went nowhere? What about those 2 years? And
see,
then the other 2 years of impeachment stuff that went nowhere. Why can't we wake up?
You're not making an argument. You're just doing a compare and contrast, which does not help us.
I'm just bringing up a point that we don't seem to like take into consideration all the time. We want to talk about how bitch he is, a patsy that takes the blame. He has himself in this position because of the way he lived his life.
Here's my question. It's his own fault.
I agree.
How do we get out of this mess that we're in? That's the question I asked.
Okay, the mess that we're in is considering that Donald Trump is trying to steal the election back or something. Is this what we're in? I mean, I'm hearing a lot of stuff.
We're in a lot of mess.
I'm hearing a lot of mess, but
So pick one and tell us, how do we get out of the mess we're in? At the top, I said, you know, I annotated, we have the COVID crisis, we have unemployment, massive unemployment.
Right. This is a perfect
crazy things happening.
Okay, can I explain a little more here? This is the perfect way for Biden not to have the excuse of saying he can't get nothing done while Donald Trump's doing this. This is all planned out in advance, all right? So Donald Trump's doing this, what he's doing, to get to January 20th when Biden will take over.
We're not interested, E, in an explanation of what is happening. We are assuming that people have a pretty good idea of what is happening. I'm not interested in an explanation of it. I'm interested in accepting it's a mess. How do we get out of it?
Yes, and I'm trying to explain that to you, that when Biden takes over on January 20th, we'll have a whole new administration in there. And then they don't want to give us the stimulus money right now. So this is a good way to keep that underneath and deal with this election stuff. This way they don't have time to decide how much money they should give the people who all need money to pay their rent and buy food and stuff, right? People are online to get food and they don't have money and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so now they're stalling to get to Biden's on the 20th of January. And in order to do that, they have to go through this process.
Usually on point, but you're missing this one. The question being asked is, we don't need an explanation of what is going on. We kind of have an idea. Or we will assume that most people have an idea of some aspect of what is going on. I'm still just asking the simple question, how do we get out of this mess?
Do you have a specific thing you want to get out of?
No. I only want the question addressed and some kind of idea.
I mean, every 4 years, don't we go through this process every 4 years? We have to wait till after the person is elected.
Never had a president decide to defy the law and imperil democracy. We've never had that.
Yeah, we had a big thing go on longer than what's going on here with Trump, with Bush and Gore, went all the way into February over this chair, hanging chairs and stuff.
I have to move on. George from Jacksonville, you're on the air. George, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. Hear me.
You there?
Can you hear me,
George?
Now?
Yeah, I can hear you now and then, but not steadily.
Is this better?
Yes, but
hello?
If you can speak into the phone as opposed to
hello, hello, can you hear me?
Can you speak directly into your phone? Or whatever communication device
you're using.
Can you hear me? So you can hear us.
Can you hear me now?
You.
I can hear you. I can hear you, Utrecht. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
How do you get out of this?
I agree. I agree with Gwen 100%. What we're looking at here, we're looking at a coup American style. And I think what needs to happen is that President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris, they just need to go 100% full ahead and address in a very public and vociferous way and take the narrative back from what Trump is doing and elevate what they're doing for the sake of democracy and do that quickly. That's what I think needs to happen.
What would it sound like?
It would sound like the president-elect would be doing in concert with the VP-elect, they would be doing news conferences. They would be doing spots on radio and on TV. They would be having surrogates do the same in whatever appropriate forum could be utilized. But assuming that everything is going to happen and we're going to move to an inauguration of the next administration on the 21st, I think at this point, with what's happening, with what this president administration is doing, is a little bit, I might add, a little bit delusional and not facing the current realities. I am very, very concerned that if Trump gets in for another 4 years, we're headed to an authoritarian dictatorship, full stop.
Okay. Well, let me ask you. Are you aware, or do you feel that you are aware of the full dimensions of what is happening now? What it would mean to the people?
Well, if the way I feel is indicative of how the people feel, I understand this to be a pivotal turning point, just the boiling away, the evaporation of liberal democracy. Whatever we have experienced over my lifetime, and I'm a baby boomer, is going away. And won't come back for a long, long time. Because after this guy leaves office, if he decides to leave office, what he will have put in place will ensure that the philosophical and political bent of whoever follows him will be authoritarian and anti-democratic.
Good thing is it doesn't have to be that way. If people step up and reclaim for all of America what is supposed to be a democratic government. So let's see. We'll see how this works out. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air. How do we get out of this mess?
Definitely the truth. How you doing?
Fine, thank you, Ed.
Okay. First of all, you know, my personal observation is this. Trump is going to play this out to the very end. We're going to be dealing with him until January the 8th, which is the last reasonable date, according to the Constitution, that he can contest this. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's always done. He's a showman. He's a BS artist, and he's going to play this out to the very end. There's no constitutional or legal obligation that he has to give a concession speech. It would just be the decent thing to do, and we all know he's not decent. That being said, how to get out of this mess? Biden is setting up a cabinet of lobbyists and the energy corporation representatives. Him and Kamala Harris are going to return things to the status quo, and we have to do what we said we were going to do. Got to hold their feet to the fire. Got to force them to acknowledge the progressive agenda that was presented and desired by the majority of the people in this country. We can't fall asleep or fall into these traps of worrying about this nonsense with Trump or getting clouded with what we got to focus on. What we need to focus on. What we need. We need national health care. What we need. We need a UBI. We need debt relief. We need a student debt relief. We need housing. And these are the issues that we got to hold these people to and just apply pressure no matter what happens. These got to get away from the cult of personality and remember what we want and what we need as a people in this country and lock in on that, organize around that, and focus in on this. I'm not getting caught up with Trump. I know that Trump was going to do this from the beginning because that's his modus of operandi. He's going to play this thing until he has no more outlets. He doesn't have the military, so I don't believe he's got a legitimate coup. Because any coup, you need to have the military backing, and he doesn't have it. So I'm saying don't get caught up in the fog. We have a specific agenda, platforms that we need to express. Healthcare, housing, the debt relief, improvement of the economy. And we've also got this COVID-19, whatever you want to call it, and the impending vaccinations that I believe are going to be state mandated, which is a whole nother kettle of fish that we're going to have to deal with. So we got to block out the nonsense and focus on what we need to focus on. And you could do it locally. You could do it nationally. Start locally. Concentrate on specific issues and hold these people's feet to the fire. That's the only way we're going to win this thing.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Ed, for your comments today. We'll take a break and come back to your comments and your observations, your analysis as to how we get out of this mess that we are in. The number to call, 888-874-4888. We'll be back right after this break. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're discussing the many challenges before us, and they are immediate insofar as we should have had an indication by now that Joe Biden, the president-elect, should have been declared the president-elect. We should be preparing as a nation for the transfer of power to the obvious winner, because the courts have ruled that the challenges brought by Donald Trump and others questioning the legitimate win of the national election by Biden should not be allowed to go through and should be rerun. In many cases, the elections should be redone. This is what is being fought for today, as at least in Pennsylvania and Michigan, the votes that were so hotly contested being certified. I don't know yet. I don't see anything yet about certification having been accomplished in those two states. But those are the two states in particular that Donald Trump targeted. And we were talking about this issue and about when they went to court. And people were, and I got challenged a bit on, you know, why would I take the position that I was taking when, you know, the accusations that there was massive fraud was brought up in court. And I was making the point that that's not the way it's done. Everybody knows that that's not the way you prove your point. Your point is proven, or your case is made initially in your complaint. And in none of Donald Trump's complaints did the allegations stick, even though they wanted recounts. They wanted all kinds of stuff and recounts. Look, it was a poor, poor action taken. It was disgraceful. And like I said, covering these kinds of court cases for a long, long time, you wonder that people even showed up to cover this so-called news conference in which they talked about challenging the count. They haven't yet done enough in their complaint to establish that. In fact, Giuliani himself, this is Donald Trump's personal lawyer and a former federal prosecutor and former mayor of the city of New York, actually admitted in court, they're not charging. They're not charging that. They're not charging. So why are you in court? Why is it in your complaint? This is so embarrassing. Nationwide and internationally, it is so embarrassing that the bar was brought so low and they still couldn't even cross it. 888-874-4888. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice. Hope you had a good weekend. In regards to this situation, all I would say is you just have to be patient and let it play itself out, because the president is going to do what he's going to do, and the members of the Senate and the Congress are going to do what they're going to do, and hopefully the American public will be intelligent enough to put forward the necessary pressure to make sure that he leaves office at 12:01 on the 20th of
What does all of that mean? What are you saying? What is the solution as you see it right now? You gave us an overview of what you think ought to happen, but that doesn't answer the question. What has to be done to get us out of this mess that we're in?
There's only really one solution that you can have and you can do, is take the matter to the courts. Just like he's
did
trying
that
to
already.
Take it to the court.
They've done that. It's not working.
Who's taking it to court? He's taking it to court.
The discussion that we had on the very day that they were in court challenging the vote.
No,
and
Biden
they admitted that they basically, they're not challenging the vote as such. We don't know what the heck their case was. And that was my point. They brought these matters to the court. Hopefully, the court, they thought, would see things their way and make people believe that they had substantive complaints. But in the end, Rudolph Giuliani had to admit they had no evidence.
Yes, but the point I'm trying to make is that it's now up to Biden to go into court because it's quite obvious that the courts are not ruling with Trump. So what he needs to do to push forward is to now go into court to force certain actions that the Trump administration should be taking in order to make the transition of power smoothly, which is not being done. I mean, because the only way that Trump can overturn this election is through the courts. And it doesn't seem that he has the necessary traction to make it do what it do, as they say. Because now you're looking at two states today, Michigan and Pennsylvania, that are supposed to solidify their votes. Now, if they don't certify their votes, so if that doesn't happen today, then the Biden administration is going to have to move forward and take that to court with the backing of the people, the voters. This is the way this plays out. Now, once they certify the vote today, then what is his argument? Because, see, he can't change that. So then that just takes his whole argument and throws it out the window. So what we as the American people have to do is just sit back, look forward, and if we have to put the pressure on Biden and his team to do the right thing, or then the people have to come together, and as the people, as the voters, they then may have to go into court to force this. But you're not living in no type of dictatorship to where as people think that there's going to be a coup like it would be over in some third world country. This is America. They will eliminate that man before they allow this empire to crumble on the level that it is. They know that they have all of this under control. If they even
don't slander third world countries. There are many
enjoying
democracy right now.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, I'm just using it as America uses it with their propaganda. But the point of the matter is, no, I think we are blowing this overboard. And I'll be honest with you. I get a kick out of listening to Gwen and the rest talk about, well, he's going to do this and he's going to do it. No, it's not going to happen. Don't let this whole thing take you into this mindless spin of the world is going to come to the end, democracy is going to come to an end. No, this
I
is about empire.
That. I did not get that from Gwen or from anybody.
No, I get it. How could you not get it when she's saying that the man is going to not turn over power and that he's going to do everything in his power to happen when he's losing? How do you justify it?
I don't have to justify somebody's point of view. It's her point of view. And I appreciate
the point of view has to be based on truth. There's no truth that he could even in this country pull us off. Did you think about this? And I'll leave on this note. Imagine him pulling that off in this country, who is supposedly the beacon of democracy, and then them being seen and taken seriously by the rest of the world. The optics is just bananas.
Because I'll tell you something that is very true. With all the things that you have just said, keep in mind that more than 1 million people were sent to prison on specious charges in this great democracy that you're just talking about. And they're still there.
And you know something? What is that based on? Can you tell us what it's based on? It's based on controlling the empire. It's based on making sure that there's certain laws in the empire.
I'm stating the fact. That is the fact that we've had all these contrived trials that produced convictions that landed 1 million-plus people in the United States prisons, and they're still there. So when people have this idea that this is the land of the free and this is the land of democracy, I always remind them about that.
Well, I think that's a joke. I think that's a joke anyway, but, you know, that's something for another day. But I just say people just need to relax. They need to just let this thing play out. And when it's all said and done, he'll be gone, and we'll find something else to be scared about and to be worried about. I mean,
okay.
I find no reason for this.
I don't think people need to relax at all. I think they need to be really uptight. And I think they need to let that be known, and I think they ought to demonstrate it, because in our faces, they're playing games and are denying our rights and are moving toward denying it our rights, I should say, more pervasively. You'd be surprised as to what could happen in an atmosphere where people are relaxed. 888-874-4888. The question before us is, how do we get out of this mess? How do you define this mess? People talk about it as a struggle for democracy or over democracy. I don't think so necessarily. I have a different view, but I'm more interested in what you are thinking. How do we get out of this mess? We have a multidimensional catastrophe on our hands, and we are being encouraged to be one-dimensional about it. No, we can't afford to be one-dimensional about it. We have to, unfortunately, we have to divide our attention to a lot of things that are going on all at the same time with extraordinary impact on particular communities as well. So we have a lot on our plate. And this, I disagree. I don't think this is a time to relax. I think this is a time to be extremely vigilant. Mohammed from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Latrice. I sincerely hope your health continues to improve.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. After January 20th, Trump will no longer be the president, and the job of the Secret Service is to protect the president. Also, they protect the previous president. He gets some protection also. So after January 20th, when they certify the election, if he refuses to go, they'll just say, sir, you're no longer the president. You don't have the legal authority. You don't have authority over the military. And he'll go. But now around the people that backed him, those 70 million people, we do have to be vigilant and very alert because they are armed, right? And you have to understand this. These people we're dealing with, these are the people that committed genocide, and or 90% of the indigenous people, they went over to the mainland, kidnapped 4 million people, and they've been killing millions of people since the 70s around the world. And they're going to be dealt with.
But it's not fair that you say that, and I'll tell you why.
You say
that was
fair?
An entirely different era, a different age. So you cannot hang that on people today.
Okay, I'll say this, Patrice. The money they have today is the money that their 4 parents.
You can't say that either, because you haven't done a survey, you haven't done a study, you haven't you're just surmising.
And okay, let me just make one last.
You're indicting as you go. I mean, okay, I understand the emotion of the point, but you also have to be circumspect in presenting your view. You can't accuse people just across the board of something that you can't yourself prove. This is a theory.
Let me just say this and I'll stop.
It is not a theory when it happened, but it's a theory today.
Okay. Eutrice, money is the result. This is what money is. Money is the results of people's life energy, their labor, their time, and their effort. That's what creates the money. The money that these people receive with labor that they stole and imposed on other people, it was passed down from generation to generation.
These people, which people?
The people in this country who run it.
No, but you can't make a specific allegation and then be nebulous in your charge.
Okay. Well, where did they get the money to start up with the capital?
No, don't ask me.
Okay.
This is your point, not my point. This is your point.
Okay.
So
I'll say this.
It is incumbent upon you when you make these kinds of statements to be very careful that you are not seen or interpreted as condemning across the board a whole bunch of people, every single one of them.
Oh, no, not every
single one.
It's a certain class of them.
Doesn't mean, when you say, again, you're still nebulous. When you say a certain class, which class?
The oligarchs, the plutocrats.
Who are the oligarchs?
People like the Kochs.
No.
The Khazars.
Like the Kochs. Is it the Kochs or not the Kochs, specifically?
They're part of it, in the Khazars.
How do you prove that?
Okay, the Khazars are the people that once Genghis Khan beat the Khazars.
You see, you're locking yourself into a box right now. All you have to do is to be very careful when you make just blanket statements indicting a whole generation of people, every single member of a class.
No. Not indicting every single one of them. Now, when the people that came over here, Eutrice, these are people who themselves had been oppressed. When you look at England, when you look at the...
A lot of people came. You see, this is the thing. We have to become far more targeted, far more specific, so that we don't get ourselves in a bind of having to prove our own point. When you leave yourself open to attack, people will attack, as they should. If I were a person who is offended, let's say I belong to the so-called class that you identified as wholesale responsible for all manner of social injustice, I would take objection to that.
Okay, then we're not accusing all of them. No, we're not doing that.
But that's what you said.
Okay, no, I'm saying, I put it like this, some of them, and excuse my error.
It doesn't matter whether you say some of them or all of them. I'm saying be very specific when you start indicting entire races or classes of people.
Okay.
And you can't prove.
Okay, I'll go along with that. But I'm going to say this,
the same way that people indict Black people, Latinos, Asians, wholesale, and then they get away with it, and it becomes part of the lore, you know, L-O-R-E. But we have to be careful, because we see ourselves as being a little bit more enlightened, and we don't want to be careless, and we don't want to commit the same crimes others did.
Okay, good point. Okay, thank you very much for hearing me.
Are you going to give me that point?
Oh, yeah, I'll give it to you.
Say
this before I go. Yeah, okay. These we are not racist. These are groups. Races have a beginning and an ending point. We are groups, and we need to stop that so-called race
thing. Well, that's what you say. Other people say different.
Oh, well, Earl Caldwell talked about it in his show in 208. Frederick Hoffman is one of the people that came up with that so-called race thing to justify enslaving all these people. And Charles Davenport, look him up when you get time.
I'm not looking anybody up. I have, on certain matters, I think I have enough information to go on to get me to the next level, to get me to the next point. Okay? I don't want to spend my life. I'm old. I don't have time to get involved in infinitesimal arguments. I accept certain things and I reject other things at this point. So, well, look at that. We've come to the end of our program. Thank you very much, Mohammed, for joining us today and contributing meaningfully, as you all have. Let's get together again tomorrow and do some more talking. Bye-bye.